Name. Amen. Our speaker this second service is Derek Griffin. Derek's wife Vicky was singing here on the end, and Vicky also shared in the first service. This evening at 7 p.m., Derek and Vicky together will share their testimony. And I encourage you to come if you can and hear their testimony together. And they'll also open it up this evening for a time of prayer and response. So I encourage you to do that. I don't know what else to say about Derek. I've been able to spend time with him in Ireland and then here this week. I appreciate his humility, his openness and his honesty, his sense of humor, and his faithfulness to love Jesus. So let's please welcome Derek Griffin.
Praise God. Can I say, what's up, Crossroads? Oh, my wife left her glasses up here. Praise God. I got to say, it's an honor and a pleasure for us to be here. I mean, I think we've experienced God more than anybody else. You know, we come from New York City, and we come on a missions trip to serve, but I feel like God has brought us here to be served. When I tell you, your hospitality is second to none. I got to say that. I thank you on behalf of Times Square Church, New York City. Thank you for taking care of us. Praise God. I'm really glad to see a lot of you. Some of you we've got to see this past week. Even my man right there from the barbershop, I remember you. All right? Yeah, that's my man. Let's give God a hand clap. I didn't get to come in, though, like to get a haircut because we was moving around, but I love the way God bring us back together. Now, how many people speak English in here? Everybody? Okay, good. Well, I speak three languages, and I got this from my man, Colin. I speak in tongues. I speak a little bit of English. And I speak proficiently in Ebonics, all right? So you let me know if I got to translate something for you. Praise God. Listen, this morning, I really believe that I have a word of encouragement for everybody that's in this building. There's a word of encouragement. And so I'm going to ask that you would listen clearly today, just like Pastor prayed, that we would not just listen with the natural ear, but we would ask God to give us an open heart to hear what exactly that he's speaking to us, because he's speaking to everybody in this room, okay? This morning, we're going to share from the book of Luke, chapter 1. And what I love about the book of Luke, first of all, he was the writer of the Gospel of Luke, but he was also the writer of the book of Acts. And Luke was a physician. We got any doctors in the house today? No? All right. Well, I love doctors. Praise God for the doctors that's here. The reason why I love doctors, and especially Luke, as a physician, when we go into a doctor's office, we come in with an ailment or a sickness, and what the doctor does is he begins or she begins to examine us to help us to find out what is wrong or maybe not wrong with us. And so this author Luke, he does exactly the same thing with the scriptures. He takes the scriptures, the word of God, and he begins to open that thing up and examine it. So I want to start at verse 1 real quick. There's going to be a lot of reading, but not all at the same time today. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4 says this: "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And I want to read that again. He did all of this for this young man named Theophilus, who I don't really know who he is in the scriptures, but today I want to suggest that you are Theophilus. And I want to suggest that the scriptures are presented to you that you might know the certainty, that you would be persuaded without a doubt, that you would be clear in your mind and in your heart that you have heard from God. He said that thou mightst knowest the certainty of those things whereas thou hast been instructed. Now, this Theophilus, the word Theophilus, it means lover or loved of God. It means dear to God or friend to God. And so I want you to know that this morning, that is how God sees you. He sees you as a friend of his. He sees you as being dear to him. And you are most definitely loved by God. So I don't care what you've experienced before you got here today, you can know that those things belong to you today. This is your title. Today you are Theophilus and you are loved by God. Praise God. I'm trying to work this thing. Only because I didn't bring my physical Bible over. I thought I was down with technology. Well, we're going to find out, right? Well, wow. Okay. Anybody got a Bible? Now, what's crazy is, well, I need a big Bible. I'm going to have to borrow my wife's glasses. Oh, there you go. Come on, Pastor. Ooh, those are really little. Let me. Luke chapter 1. Oh, nah, good. Verse 5 says this. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah. And I want to stop for a minute. Because anytime you read the scriptures and you see that word certain, you can be for sure that God is putting his finger on something. Okay? God is putting his finger on something today. Now he says, there was a certain priest. His name was Zechariah. He was of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they both were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. Now, when you read this, you say, well, what are you talking about? You're just going through some genealogy. But no, what I believe that God is speaking to the church this morning, he wants you to know that he knows absolutely everything about you. That the thing that he's speaking to your heart today didn't just start today, but that it goes way back. God had you in mind from the creation of this world. And he wants you to know today, he wants you to be certain, persuaded that you are hearing from him. Amen? Let me tell you something, church, that I know. Listen, Friday night, this whole week wasn't an ordinary week. I don't know what it may have seemed like to you. Maybe it was a lot of work, you know, doing a lot of stuff. But God was on the move. God was doing something. And I believe that God is doing something here in Switzerland and in France as a whole. But I do believe this, that God has chosen you. Come on now, don't start looking down. God has chosen you to be one of this nation's deliverers. Amen. Yeah, you could give God a hand clap because that's big, that's humongous. Now, the Bible says that Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were both righteous before God. And they were walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord. And they were blameless. Just simply means that they were in right relationship with God. And that's all that God is requiring from anybody. He didn't ask for no extra requirement. The only thing that God is requiring is that we desire to walk in right relationship with him. So, here's what the scripture says in verse 7. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. Now, back in Bible times, and still even now, children represented wealth. Children were a blessing of God, and they still are. And we just sent off a bunch of our blessings to learn about this God. Amen? Amen? So, but the Bible says that Elizabeth, although she was walking right with God, she was barren. And in that barrenness, in those days, being barren, being unable to have a children, was almost like a curse to the woman and to the family. It was a reproach. But according to God, everything was all right with them. But I can imagine Elizabeth beginning to struggle in a sense in her relationship with God, or maybe in the promises of God and believing him, because there was a reproach on her life. And the reproach probably began to come from the people that was around her. Now, y'all ain't hear me. You know what I'm talking about. Yo, what's wrong with them? Ooh, look at her hair this morning. She bugging. The people around her probably began to start talking. She probably caught wind of it, hearing it. And although she was doing everything in her ability to walk right before God, there was a reproach. She felt this stain. She felt like something was wrong with me because I can't have a baby. Here you go. Her husband was a priest. And I can't even have a baby? I can't bless my husband? I can't bless my family with a child to say that God is completely blessing us? Some of us know what I'm talking about. There's some things in our life that we would love to have, but we can't have them. Or we don't have them as of yet. And sometimes those very things begin us to kind of pull back from the things of God in a sense, because those thoughts in our mind that say, oh, you know, you ain't praying enough. You ain't reading your Bible enough. Now, I knew it would be quiet because that's the realness of what we all struggle with. We all deal with the lies in our mind. There's not one person in this room that is exempt from that. Every last one of us, we struggle and we deal and we fight against the lies of the devil. So now the Bible says that, and it came to pass while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, I always like to explain lots. Back in the days, they would cast lots, or and they would consider this as the will of God. Casting lots can be, you know, who got the bigger stick, flipping a coin. But I like to put it like in New York City, and I don't know about in Switzerland, we used to play this game called dice. And all money down was a bet. And what we would do is we would roll that dice, and if a certain number came up, for sure I won. That's my money. And so what would happen here in Bible times is they too would also cast lots, and they would consider that the outcome, the will of God. So all these priests are standing around, and then they have the opportunity to cast this lot. And when the number comes up or whatever flips up, it comes up and it points at Zechariah the priest. Now, what happens is he gets the opportunity, the Bible says, to go into the sanctuary of God. And he has the opportunity to go and burn incense. But this opportunity wasn't some everyday thing. This was a life, once in a lifetime moment. And I believe this morning that God is going to lay an opportunity before you. And it may be one of those once in a lifetime moments. One of those times where we got to respond, where we got to get on our game, we got to move, okay? I want you to remember that, because I'm going to tell you ahead of time what's going to happen. In your mind, there's going to be another war. Let's say, man, you can't move. You're from Switzerland. We too cool. We don't move. You know what I'm talking about. You know what? I got everything together. I'm not moving. That's the war you're going to face. If I move, they're going to think this. And if I move, they're going to think that. I got to keep myself together. So I'm telling you the war that you're going to fight by the time we get to the end of this message. But what I want you to do is right now, I want you to punch the devil in his eye. Give him a black eye right now and say, when God come, I'm moving with him. Okay? Matter of fact, I usually don't like this, but turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to give the devil a black eye. Okay. I'm glad I got to share at this service. You're lively. Everybody is, but I'm just saying you're really lively. Okay, now when he went into the temple, right? The Bible says that there was a multitude of people outside, and they was praying for him. You know, they was praying, and his job to go into the temple was to burn incense. And in the burning of incense, it represented prayer. And so as the man of God, the one chosen by God to come and burn this incense, it was his job to pray for the people, just like the pastor and all those that are in ministry serving. It's our job to serve the people. It's our obligation, but it's more than that. It's a love. So here he is. He's in the temple, and it's his job to pray for the people. So he's probably taking that incense, right? And he's going over to the altar. And on his way over to the altar, and I'm going to tell you this, I'm just thinking, in my own mind's eye, I'm thinking in there, because he's probably in there by himself. It's probably all quiet. You know, the holies of holies is right there. It's only separated by a veil, a curtain. And back in the days, if a man of God wasn't right and he went into the holies of holies, guess what would happen to him? It's a wrap. He's over. He's dead. So I can see him in the sanctuary. The holies of holies is right there. He's probably walking towards the incense, and he's probably like, I hope I don't trip and fall in there. So he gets there, and right as he gets there, the Bible says that an angel appeared to him. And then the Bible says that immediately what Zechariah did is he fell straight to the ground. He was scared to death. He was afraid, like most of us when the word of God comes to us. See, when the word of God comes to us, the word of God never comes with something ordinary for us to do. He always comes with the extraordinary. God always comes and he brings those things that we know we can't do in our own natural strength. He gives us and causes us and calls us to do those things that only he can give us the empowerment to do. And so what happens is naturally we get scared to death. Oh, God. Let me tell you something. That happens to every man and woman of God. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what they sound like, how confident they sound. If they don't come to that place where there's a holy fear inside of them, guess what? Something is wrong. Something is wrong. So anyway, the angel comes to him, and then he tells Zechariah, because he's scared to death, he says, fear not. And if you look throughout the scriptures, that's one of the things most of the time when the Lord, when God shows up in whatever form, he speaks, fear not. Or you hear the word peace, because that's what the presence of God brings. He comes with peace. So he tells Zechariah, he says, fear not. Zechariah is probably standing there. His eyeballs is probably bigger than mine. He probably like. And then he begins to speak to Zechariah. Because Zechariah's job was to pray for the people. He was to pray for the coming Messiah. And so when the angel shows up and he says, I'm here. I am sent by God to tell you that your prayers have been answered. Listen, I'm talking to you. Your prayers have been answered. God knows exactly what you've been asking him, even from the very inclinations of your heart. I'm talking about when you don't open your mouth and you long for something. God comes to say today and says that your prayers have been answered. So he speaks that to Zechariah. And in that moment, Zechariah is probably thinking, Because he was praying, he was just praying for the coming Messiah, thinking Jesus is coming. But he says, no, your prayers. He says, your wife, Elizabeth, will have a son. Amen. I wonder how many of us in this room right now that God is birthing a son in you. And I'm not just talking physically. How many of us right now as we sit here this morning that God is birthing a son? I want you to think about that and hold that. Now, Zacharias, he's in this temple. The angel of God just told him that his prayers has been answered, that his wife is going to have a child, something that they've probably been praying for their whole married life. And all of a sudden, the angel comes to tell him, now is the time. And the way he responds is this. Let me find it with these glasses. Here's what, in verse 18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Here's the angel of God with the very answer to his prayer. And you know what Zechariah does? He resorts to the natural man. He looks to the natural strength of man, and he goes, how is this going to happen? Because I am too old. Me and my wife. I wonder how many of us in this room that God has spoken promises into our life, maybe a long time ago, and because we have not seen that thing come to pass yet, we go, maybe he didn't mean it like that. You know what I'm talking about. I can see it in your eyes. You know what? Maybe he meant that for my son or my daughter because now I'm a little older. But today, I want to suggest to you that God is saying to you, your prayers have been answered.
Amen.
Now, Zacharias, the Bible says that he spoke and he was considered a natural man. And so what happened to him was something really interesting. Because the angel of the Lord, he didn't strike him dead. So that's it. You was out of here. What he did is he said, your unbelief, Zacharias, this morning, is going to cost you. And I could see Zacharias thinking like, what? And he says, that voice, I'm going to take it away. Now, I want to explain that to you in today's application, right? Sometimes, when we begin to respond in unbelief, there is a voice that may be taken away from us. And I don't mean literally. I don't mean the voice of speaking your words or making sounds. But I'm talking about a spiritual voice. I'm talking about a voice that the people can hear. One that would persuade someone to believe. Now, I want to give you an example. One time I went with my pastor, I went to a pastor's conference with him, right? So at this conference, it's full of all pastors from all over the place. And as he was preaching the word of God, what I kept seeing time after time is I would watch the people respond to the word of God. And God was saying, Derek, I want to show you something. And I was like, why are they responding? Now, I knew that what he was preaching was the truth. But God began to tell me, he said, Derek, although what they're hearing is the truth, he says, that's not why they're responding. He said they're responding because out of his voice comes a sound, and that sound is the sound of persuasion. It's a sound that causes someone to know that you didn't just read about something, but that you are sincerely in love with that thing, that you know that thing, that you want that thing for them. It's a persuasion. It's a sound that comes not just from our mouth, but it's a sound that comes when we speak. It's a sound that's emanated from our hearts. But it does something to persuade or to convince a man or woman. And I'm going to tell you something as I'm thinking about that. While we're here, And I guess I'm all the way in Switzerland, so nobody from New York can't hear me. No, I'm just joking. Because I wherever I go, I want to be like this pulpit. I want to be transparent. I want to be able to be an open book. And not for just to be like, yeah, I'm an open book. I want to be like that because I want God to be able to examine my heart. I want to be a sincere man of God. I want one day the scriptures to say, like Zacharias and Elizabeth, that he was blameless. Come on, who don't want that? But anyway, you know, sometimes when I think about this persuasion, like the sound that comes from our voice, this sound that this causes people to believe us. You know, I remember one time I was on another missions trip, and we went to Colombia, Medellin, Colombia. And, you know, I went there, and before I went, the agenda was like, you're going to be preaching. I'm like, yeah, praise God, right? I'm hearing from God, I'm studying, I'm praying. I'm like, yes, let's go. So I come there prepared, so I thought. Now I get there, I'm ready to preach, and as soon as I get there, you know what they say? Derry, share your testimony. I'm like, what? Man, I got messages right here. Like, you talking about share your testimony? Like, I want to share the word of God. I believe God is speaking to you. And he's like, yeah, share your testimony. So, you know what? I share my testimony. We get to the next church. Derry, share your testimony. Now I'm getting mad. I'm getting mad at that pastor. I'm getting mad at God. I'm getting mad at the people that's on my team. Because I'm saying, yo, what's wrong with everybody got a testimony. Why I got to keep giving my testimony? Because, see, in the sharing of my testimony, got to go to some dark areas sometime. Some stuff that I don't be wanting to go there. And it's turning me on and off like a light switch. Share testimony. Share testimony. Share testimony. And so, unbeknownst to me, I was having one of those Zachariah moments. God was wanting to do something in my life that I wasn't fully aware of at the time. And here I am, I'm getting mad at God, I'm getting mad at my team, getting mad at the hosting pastor. Like, yo, what's wrong with this dude, man? All these people here, they got testimonies, you wanna hear it? So I'm getting mad at God, and then God said, because what was happening, going to some of those deep areas, it hurts. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of stuff in my life that I don't have the liberty to share. You know what I'm saying? And so sometimes going there, it's like, it's hard, man. It's not an easy thing. And that's what I was telling God. I was like, Lord, I can't keep doing this, man. Like, I'm hurting now. Share my testimony. Share my testimony. I'm hurting. And then he said, Derek, I want you to know that I was there. I was there all those times. Like, I was there. And so you don't have to try to hide those things. You don't have to let these things become a shortcoming to you. Because for a lot of those years, what I did is I shortened the arms of God because I couldn't believe God for myself. I couldn't believe God could really use me in such a magnitude because, man, I never went to school. I don't got no degrees. These dudes, my pastors, they all seem like they was born in the Bible. Every time I talk to people, it's like, oh, I was saved when I was a little kid. I got saved when I was 19. I'm like, I was 30-something years old when I got introduced to Jesus. So for me, I was allowing that to be a shortcoming to me. And I was causing the arms of God to be short because God wanted to use me and I wasn't letting him. But I wonder in this room, how many of us are shortening the arms of God concerning our own lives and how he wants to use us? Because we won't believe him. Because of all of our failures. So what? Let me tell you what God began to tell me out there in Colombia. And then I got encouraged like all outdoors. They couldn't stop me. Now you want the testimony? Let's give it up. No, praise God. While I was there, God began to open up Psalms 139. And Psalms 139 starts off, I love it. It says, I have searched you and examined you. I'm like, oh, yes. So you do know. He said, I know the thoughts before you even think them. I know the words that come out of your mouth before you even say them. He says, before you was in your mother's womb, guess who was there? Me. I knew you. He says, and even when your mom and dad was in the room at night or wherever they was at, and they thought nobody else was there and the door was closed and they thought they was by themselves, he said, guess who was there? I was, Derek. And he says, I don't care about all your failures. I don't care about your shortcomings. He says, because I have appointed you to bear a fruit and a fruit that will last. And when I heard that, supernaturally, there was this confidence that came over me. It was like, let's do it, God. Let's do it. And I'm going to tell you something. Right now, even in Switzerland, I talk the way I talk. I walk the way I walk. You want to know why? Because no longer do I live my life out in me. But I am who I am in him, being Jesus Christ. So it gives me the freedom to be me. But again, I wonder in this room, how many yous want to break out of that prison that you're in? How many in this people really want to break out and experience what freedom is? You heard that song that Ivory and them sung? Freedom. Now, one thing I ain't is a singer. Freedom. And I hear the Lord calling me a liar. He said, Derry, you can sing. You a worshiper. You right, you ain't a singer. I'm a worshiper at heart. So are many of you in this room. But anyway, I wonder how many of us want to break out of that lion shell that's causing us to resist the things of God, because we just can't believe that he can do it for me. Let me tell you something that happens. Okay, so now this angel tells Zechariah, he goes, I'm going to take your voice. So now Zechariah comes out of the temple, and the people, they want to hear what in the world was going on in there. What happened? What happened? And he's silent. So they saying to themselves, surely he's seen the Lord. He heard from God. This dude came out of here and he can't say a word. Zechariah, soon as his job was over as the priest, burning the incense, Bible said he went home real quick. And then as you begin to read later on, a couple of verses later, the Bible says that Elizabeth was pregnant, meaning this. Zechariah at one point was operating in unbelief. But even without his voice, even without having that ability to have a spiritual voice, to emanate this sound that would cause people to persuade, he went home in complete obedience. And the Bible says that she had a baby. That means he did what he had to do to obey God to have that baby. And I'm glad the children are not here. That's what the Bible says. Derek didn't make that up. So here's what happens. Now in his obedience to God, she's with child. And then a certain amount of time passes, she has this baby. Now, there's a bunch of people around, and they all happy. They celebrating with them, and they go to Elizabeth, and they go, what's the baby's name? Because the angel of the Lord told them the baby's name. Said his name's going to be John. So they run to Elizabeth and they go, so what's the baby's name? Because it's always a custom that the baby wouldn't be named after the father or somebody in the family. So they're expecting Elizabeth to say, Zechariah, little Zechariah Jr. And she doesn't say that. They go, what's his name? She says, John. And I can see them go, wait. Say that again. She said, his name is going to be John. And I can imagine if they probably looked at him and was like, man, you don't know what you're talking about. Then the Bible says something really interesting to me. It says that the crowd, they left Elizabeth, and it said that they made signs to Zacharias, because Zacharias couldn't speak. But then I asked myself, and I said, God, why would you make signs to somebody that can't speak? Then say he couldn't hear. Why would you make signs to somebody if they could still hear? You just call him, yo, Zachariah. He looks at you. So now, what I want to suggest is this. And you take this back to your prayer closet. But I want to suggest this today. That it's possible, right, that not only can we lose our spiritual voice because of unbelief, but it's possible we can lose our hearing. The ability to hear spiritual truth. Now you take that to your own prayer closet and you ask for clarification, because I couldn't find nothing in the scriptures. But just want to suggest that it may be possible that not only do you lose the ability to speak spiritual truth, but it's possible that you may lose the ability to hear spiritual truth. Now, here's what I love, as I'm getting to the end of this. The Bible says that when they came to Zacharias and they asked him what the baby's name was, he couldn't speak. He wrote it on a tablet, and he probably wrote it in capital letters, big ones, John. And the moment that he did that, all of a sudden, his voice came back. And here's what I thought. We can find ourselves in a place of unbelief, but the very moment that we agree with God, all of a sudden, the spiritual voice begins to come back. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I'm talking about that ability to talk to somebody on the street and be confident, not knowing all of the scripture, but knowing what I know my testimony. You can't debate that. That ain't written in no book but mine and Jesus. All of a sudden, when we finally agree with God, the ability to speak spiritual truth comes back. Now, here's what I want to do today. See, I know I like Switzerland because y'all really are cool. But remember that war I told you earlier? That war that I told you about responding to the word of God? And what it's going to try to convince you to do is stay right where you are. But I'm going to tell you this, and my wife said it earlier, you can't go with God and stay where you at. And I'm going to tell you something else, that anytime the word of God comes, it's not so we can leave out of here and go, oh, such a good speaker, oh, he was funny, he was cool. When the word of God comes, the word of God comes as an invitation to invite you to join God in what he's about to do. God is about to win this nation.
Amen.
And God is choosing you. Those that can hear by the sound of my voice, I don't care where you work at, I don't care where you live at, I don't care what you do, God has chosen you before the very foundations of the world to become one of this nation's deliverers. And here's what's so great about God. I love the Lord. Because guess what you got to do? Nothing. God does it all. All we do is we just believe God. We do like Zacharias. We just agree with God. We just simply agree with him. Now, I want to ask you one question, and then I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. But here's the question. Oh, excuse me, my man. Excuse me. Before you leave, I want to ask you this question, because this is very important for the rest of your life. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. It's just the, okay, I'm going to try to wait for you. Okay? No, I really didn't want to, I'm not trying to, you know, pick on him. Or it's just that I don't want nobody to miss this opportunity that God is laying before you. See, here's something that I know. I don't know, only one I know in here is my man from the barbershop. Nah, but I don't know nobody in this room from a hole in the wall. I just met all of you, and you just met me. But guess what I do know? I know that deep down inside of every heart that's in this room, there's something that tells you that your life was meant for so much more than what it is right now. I know that. You want to know why I know that? Because God put that there. And today, if you would agree with God and simply choose to believe God, not understanding everything, just saying, God, I believe you today, God will bring that thing to pass. God is faithful. We're not just talking about some little God. We're talking about the God who created the heavens and the earth. He is faithful. And everything that he speaks to you, it will come to pass. So my challenge is this. Let us stand up to our feet. Right? And I know it's a little bit hot. It's a little tired. We probably went a little bit long. But I want this to marinate. I want you to let this marinate. Now remember, I want you to be reminded of that battle. Because it's already started in your minds. I know it. No, because I sit in those chairs. I know. I go through the same stuff. Right, Pastor? Yeah. Same stuff. Here's my challenge to everybody in that room. First, I want to ask if there's anybody in this room, you heard what I was saying, and it's like, yeah, that sounds good. But you can honestly say that you're not living for God. In all honesty, and I want to tell you something, God already knows. He's not mad at you. Today, he's just giving you the perfect opportunity to get right with him. So if that person is in this room, here's what it's going to take you, some boldness. You know what boldness is? Yeah, I know y'all know what boldness. Because if somebody tried to took your money, you get bold. It's going to take some boldness to respond to God. Because I told you, it's never easy. He never come with the ordinary stuff. God comes with the extraordinary. So if that person is in this room and you want to be, you want the plans of God to come alive in your life, I'm asking that person, come front, right in front of everybody. Don't be afraid. Because most people in this room that belong to God, we did the same thing. We had to take an opportunity and say, God, you know what? I surrender. I surrender all to you, God. And that's all we're going to do. We just want to pray for you. Okay, secondly, here's what I want. I want those people that you know deep down inside of your heart, there's something that tells you that your life is meant for so much more than what it is right now. I want those people, come on down here. Meet me right here. We're going to pray, and we're going to believe God. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. Get out the shell. I'm going to be real with you. We got to get out the shell, people. We're never going to be able to operate in the things of God. We're never going to be able to move with God if we find ourselves fearful. We got to get out the shell. We got to stop being the ordinary. And I'm not trying to coerce you, but the one thing I know is that God is never going to force you. But if we don't move towards God, God will lay that invitation out. Just like if I pulled a $100 bill out of my pocket and I say that this is yours. If you don't come and get it, it's not yours. It's just going to stay in my hand or stay in my pocket. But I want to give you this. That's what God is saying. I want to give you this. That very longing of your heart. Some of you got unsaved family members that are here. You got children that are not living for God. You got cousins, mothers, fathers, uncles, wives, husbands that are not living for God. And then we call ourselves really saying that we love them and we're not willing to fight for them. And I'm screaming, I'm not upset. I'm just passionate about this because I know the lies of the dirty devil. He'll keep you standing right where you are and you'll never get the promises of God. You'll always wonder why. And you'll look around and God is using the people around you and you wonder why God is using them and not you. But they keep saying yes. How many of us are going to sit in this chair this morning and let the promise of God go by. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I thought she was coming up here, but she is. Glory to God. Glory to God for all those. Can I get the worship team to come? Play something really, really light. Glory to God. Listen, don't be afraid. I'm going to tell you to do something else. Lean over to your neighbor and go, yo, if you go, I'll go. Because sometimes that's what we need. We just need that little nudge, that little push. And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm telling you, God wants to do something, people. God wants to do something in your life that will blow your mind. He'll turn this whole world upside down with one person that will sincerely believe him. That's all he needs. God is raising up deliverers. Moses's, David's. He's raising them up. Deborah's. God has chosen you before the very foundations of the world. And he don't care about your shortcomings. I got more than anybody in this room. But I believe God today. And I just want the worship team to play. And while they're praying, just come. What we're going to do is pray. We're not going to do nothing weird. We're just going to pray. And we're going to believe God. Okay?
Here I am, here I stand, Lord, my life is in your hands, Lord, I'm longing to see your desire breathing.
Keep playing lightly. I want to ask the team if you would step down, and as we just want to pray with you. We're going to come alongside of you, and we're going to pray and believe God with you, okay? But I want you to know this, that the Bible says that as Zacharias, he agreed with God. Not only did he get his voice back, but the people that was around him began to worship God. And God wants to do that in your life. He's going to cause all those around you to worship him because of your life. So I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads. I'm going to pray. I want you to lift your hands in the air. And what I want you to do as I pray, whatever that thing is, you ask God, God, do it for me. Bring that thing to pass. I don't know what it is, but use me, Lord. And I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh, Lord, I pray for all of these that are here this morning. Lord, they're responding to your call, God. And I'm asking this morning, God, that you would seal every decision by the earnestness of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God. Now I ask you, God, in Jesus' name, that you would quicken them, God. Lord, I pray, God, for a hunger and a thirst like never before, God. I pray that you would give them a greater measure of faith to believe you, God. I'm asking, God, in Jesus' name, that the very grounds that their feet tread on, God, that you would give it to them. And I'm asking, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would bless to the uttermost. Lord, that you would use them as individuals. You would use them as a body and as a church. God, as a light set on a hill, God, to win souls unto you, God. I pray for this body, God. Lord, that you would continue to use them, God. Give them souls, God, to the uttermost. We're praying for the lost, God, the souls, those in our homes, those in our communities, those in our workplaces. God, we're asking that you would put your word in our mouth, God. Give us the words that would cause the chains to be broken, that would cause the captives to be set free, God. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. Lord, we believe you, God, that you have chosen us before the very foundations of the world, God, to be one of this nation's deliverers. And my personal prayer, God, for all that is here, that you would send the Holy Ghost, God, that he would remind them, God. You said that he would bring all things back to our remembrance that Jesus Christ has said. So we bless you this morning. We thank you, God. Now I'm asking, God, that everyone is here would know that you go before them and behind them, and that your hand of blessing is upon their heads. Bless them hundredfold, God. Give them wisdom beyond their years. I pray for courage and boldness to be able to stand in this wicked generation, God. And I ask for the practical things, God, that you would give them everything that they need. Even all of their bills would be paid, God. Lord, we thank you. We honor you. We bless you. And the people of God this morning say with a loud voice, amen and amen. Let's give God a hand clap. Hallelujah. 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 Can we go with just one more song? Praise God.